Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So today's message is we're just going to do kind of a drive-by of five women in the Bible, okay? It might even feel a little bit more like the devotional Bible studies we do because it's not my normal format for a message. But how many know there are a lot of amazing women in the Bible, and they're not for women's conferences, right? In fact, the last time Caleb preached, he preached on Esther. So that just proves a point there. But there are a lot of amazing men and women, and so we want to honor both this morning. All right. Before I start, I want to honor two mothers in the house. We could honor all the mothers, and we will here at the end. And don't forget to take a special bag and take a photo and have some fun afterwards. But I want to honor my mother and my mother-in-law that both are here this morning. Without either of these women, we would not be your pastors. I will put that out there. So bless them today. And it's really special to have them both here. So that means a lot. As I said, I think I've got some kind of pregnancy nose issue, so we're going to try and get through the message. If we don't, Caleb is going to, I told him, just tackle me, take the mic, and preach Jesus. All right, so here are my three jokes. These were pretty good. Cleaning with kids in the house is like brushing your teeth with Oreos. I thought that was pretty good. What is the fastest land mammal? A toddler who's been asked what is in their mouth. I think that was pretty good, too. I hate when I'm waiting for mom to cook, and then I remember I am mom. That was pretty good, too. We can all go home now. We got Jesus and joy, right? I say this every Mother's Day, and I don't remember where I got just the vision for this, but it was a couple years ago. So you might have heard this if you've come here for a couple years, but we'll probably say it for a long time more. So happy Mother's Day. It can be the best day or the worst day for some. Some of us, like Eve, have children with serious rivalry. Naomi have lost a child. Hagar are mothering alone. Hannah have a child that took years to conceive or are still waiting. Mary have had a complicated pregnancy journey. Joseph and Benjamin experienced the death of their mother. Phoebe, Junia, or Priscilla are mothers with kids in the family of God, us included. So I just want to bless you with that. If you knew your mom, didn't know your mom, wish you had, wish you hadn't, I want you to know that I don't have my normal-looking Bible, but I've got this Bible. This is our family tree, amen? And so if this is a hard day or a good day for you, find the woman in the Bible that you need to gain strength from, whether you're a man or a woman here today. How many know we're all children? So we all had a mother. That's how this works, right? If you didn't know, I teach healthy relationships in schools. Don't ask me for the details, but this is our family tree, and this is how God's kingdom multiplies. Amen? So I encourage you, you know, if you want one of those names, you're like, hey, that's me this morning. Can you tell me who was that? We can give you the name, and just go do a study and be encouraged. You are not alone this morning. Amen? So this month's theme is new normal. Can everyone say new normal? It's a great theme for mothers, I think. How many have had an old normal and a new mother when you became a parent of any kind, right? Or you started that journey. So after the resurrection, a new normal was released on our earth and death was conquered by life, but the disciples needed to learn how to operate in the new normal. Remember last week we talked about how it would have been so much better, I think, but thank God I'm not God, if God just downloaded the new operating system, right? But we all get to, not have to, learn how to walk in the new normal of Jesus. Amen. So that new normal definition is a previously unfamiliar or atypical situation that has become standard, usual, or expected. How many have some God expectations that don't make any sense once you know Jesus, right? Call me crazy, but I've got some God expectations. Last Sunday, we talked about how a new normal requires asking the question, where is my starting point for the day? Where is my starting point for my relationships, my priorities, for any area of my life? If you missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen. It was a very practical message. We also talked about how a new normal requires receiving and sharing the abundant life of Jesus. Amen? How many this week paused and realized you needed to receive before you could give and walk out the new normal? Hopefully you had that reminder. Our theme verse is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new things have come. Has anyone held on to that for dear life sometimes? It's like this is the word of God, a promise. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. That word old, I know this is going to shock you, means old, right? But it means ancient and former. And it's from the word beginning, origin, ruler, authority, and principality. That word old is the same word used in Revelation 12:9, where it is used to describe the devil as that ancient serpent, linking back to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Isn't this interesting? I was reading in a commentary this week. So it's emphasizing the long-standing nature of evil and its opposition to God's purposes. How many know the old authority over your life has no authority in the new normal in Christ? Isn't that amazing? Hidden in that word old is that little, oh, there's the curse from the Garden of Eden. That curse, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Amen? You're not fighting old curses. They are broken in Jesus' name. Amen? That is so powerful. So today we're going to look at, this told you, I said we were going to look at five women. Excuse me, we're going to look at four women. Sermon just got shorter by a point. So it's four women, not five. Pastor Caleb, could you grab me one of the bags, the women's blessing bags from the foyer? We're going to look at four women in the Bible, and he's going to show the card here. When you get your bag and you open it up, and by the way, we have a lot of bags. So if you're going to go be with a woman, like be with your mother, or you know you're going to be with someone who you want to bless today, take an extra bag and give it to them. But on this bag is a blessing, and we did these blessings last year, but I put some new names on this year. So Pastor Caleb's going to run the four-minute mile. There he is. I don't know. I don't think a record was broken. Thank you. All right. Let's open her up. Here we go. All right. Thank you, Caleb. This is artwork done by Pat Lytle, Pastor Pat. So give it up for her. If you have not seen her artwork, I mean, you have if you're in the church because it's up around, but she does these little things with these, like, it's like, what is it called? The pen stippling. It's like my nightmare. It's like little pen pokes. It's incredible. I would lose my mind. It's absolutely incredible. You should see her work because it's little pen pricks with different colors. I'm telling you, it's amazing. That's what I meant by lose my mind. I would not be able to do the detail work. Just to clarify, it is amazing. All right, so on the back of this beautiful piece that you can get, it says, we bless you with the courage of Esther, the vision of Anna, the strength of Deborah, and the faith of Eunice. All right, so we're going to look at that. And by the way, men, you can get these blessings too, all right, but today we're talking about the women. When my husband and I found out we were pregnant, it is so fun to hear the responses from everyone. And by everyone, I do mean you. Just gonna put that out there. You are the majority of everyone here. But I'm not quoting anyone. I don't ever do that without permission in a sermon. But, you know, we were told this is the best thing ever, or this is the hardest thing ever, right? How about this will be so worth it, it'll be the most meaningful thing you've ever done, or everything will change and you'll never be the same. Or how about your marriage is over as you know it? Or how about your time isn't your own anymore? I was going to do a little thing. I don't know. I guess when I'm congested, I'm more funny or I feel more funny. How many pillows do you think I slept with last night? On a queen? Nope. Nope. Nine. I don't know who said nine. Nine. He's married. He knows. My poor husband, I was like, we have a queen bed and we are both almost like 6 foot or like, you know, it was a rough night. So your marriage, as you know, it is over, I will say. My husband can testify. But what I realized was, the funny thing is, when you get born again in Jesus as your Savior, most of the things that someone tells you when you're pregnant can be told to you as a born-again believer. It's the best thing ever. It's the hardest thing you've ever done. Your time isn't your own anymore. Your marriage is over as you know it. Thank God. Amen. And get saved and grateful for that. Everything will change and never will be the same. It's so worth it and more meaningful than anything else. You hear it? I preached a Mother's Day message. Gosh, this was years ago, maybe 8 years ago. And it was called, Did You Know You Are Expecting? We all are expecting Christ in us, the hope of glory. And just like a mother can't put on a mom hat and take it off, as much as her schedule might say she does, when you get born again, you don't take the child of God hat off, just as much as anything you're trying to do says you do. Does that make sense? You can go anywhere downtown, whether you should be there, should not be there, and you're still a child of God. You can work 100 hours a week, but you're still a mother. No matter what has happened to your child or where they are or anything, that never changes. Amen? So in this new normal, we're going to be talking about our expectations in our new normal, right? And the blessings that come with it. All right, number one, courage of Esther. We're going to, again, this is a drive-by. Caleb did preach on Esther recently, so we're just going to kind of scoot through here. But the courage of Esther. How many know you cannot walk in the new normal of Jesus without courage? When I did my internship at the Christian Counseling Center years ago, that was one of the things that really stood out was if you are going to forgive, or if you are going to face that trauma with Jesus, or if you are going to do anything in that, it takes courage. And I learned to say thank you for taking that courageous step, because it takes courage. And I don't think we realize that enough. It's like, oh, no, this is like, Jesus died on the cross. What's wrong with you? You should forgive, right? We should, instead of realizing, it actually takes courage. So if you're in that place this morning and you're like, well, the new normal sounds great, you know, being a child of God, walking in, hearing his voice, we're going to talk more about that later this month and all of that, but it takes courage. No one is guilt tripping you or condemning you in this, right? Healing takes courage. Sharing Jesus, how many know that takes courage? Getting up in the face of illnesses or challenges takes courage. Some of you this morning, it took every ounce of courage just to get here. So just in case anyone doesn't know, Esther was an orphan who lived in Persia after the destruction of the first temple. She became queen of Persia, and she and her cousin Mordecai saved the Jewish people from Haman, who plotted to kill them all by deceiving the king. That's a very short summary, but there you go, right? Esther was a descendant of King Saul, and God redeemed her royal heritage. Isn't that powerful? I love that. And some say that her son, Esther's son, was actually the one that allowed the second temple to be built in Jerusalem. There's some thought on that. So I thought that was interesting. But I love this story because she saved a generation that wasn't hers. And some of us may not have physical children, but it doesn't mean we're disqualified from being part of God's salvation plan for the next generation. Amen? And Esther is also unique because God was never mentioned in the book. And so some of our stories, we're here this morning and we're like, you know, but I never mentioned God in my story, or I've never really seen God in my story. Well, if you go through Esther, you won't see it written either. But how many know Esther lived in a new normal with God? Amen? And so sometimes that courage of Esther, that blessing of courage in the new normal, is actually the courage to walk out our faith, even when we can't audibly say the name of God. Maybe it's in your workplace, or maybe there's a family get-together later today, and you know if you mention the wrong thing, everything will blow up. But you can still have the courage of Esther, who saved a generation. Does that make sense? God has salvation for the next generation. It says in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Right? So my question here is, where do you need to receive God's courage to walk in the new normal and out of the old patterns of your life? How many know Esther needed courage to stop the patterns of an orphan and start the new normal as a queen? Amen? And so we all have that royalty. Pastor Brian preached on Esther at youth group this past week. And when I say preached, it was like a 10-minute thing before we did a whole activity with the youth. But it stood out, the difference and the chapter marker in Esther's life. Do you recognize the chapter marker that God has in your life, the before and the after, and the courage to keep walking forward with him? Amen? So number two is the vision of Anna. Where there is no vision, people perish. That's Habakkuk 2, 2 through 3. And I love this because it says, where there's no vision, people perish. So in order to walk in the resurrection life of God, you literally, by the definition, have to have vision. But how many know that it is very easy to lose vision in your life? One of the most powerful chapters, I believe, in the men's book, and I didn't read any of the men's book, my husband did, but they did black belt husband in the men's group, and men, correct me, because my husband's not in here if I'm wrong, but I believe one chapter was on vision for your family. And Danny Silk does a whole nother course on how to actually write a vision statement for your family, for your marriage, for your relationships. It was so powerful. And so it's easier to have a thriving home when you're walking in the resurrection life of God. And in order to walk in the resurrection life of God, we need to have vision. Even if it's only I see Jesus, that's all I got. And that's vision enough. Amen? Because one of the biggest thieves of our new life is losing vision. Because when you lose vision, you turn backwards or you turn inwards. Has anyone had that? Where you get saved, you get all excited, you're focused, and then suddenly you realize you're living backwards or you're living inwards instead of keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. So in Luke 2, 36 through 38, let's look at Anna. Anna. It was probably Anna in Hebrew. Kids are having fun. All right. God bless them. All right. And there was a prophetess, Anna, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years, and then as a widow to the age of 84. Any 84-year-olds? Don't raise your hand. I don't think so. Not this morning. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, when Mary and Joseph were there with baby Jesus, she saw them and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she was one of the first evangelists that we actually see since Jesus' birth. And if you were here during Christmas, I like to talk about Anna. She only has a couple verses, but she is one of my favorite heroes because she shows us a new normal. She shows us vision to have purpose after loss. It says, historically, that women and men would get married pretty young back then. So if she was only married for 7 years and she was 84, that puts her somewhere around 60 years of being a widow. That's a lot of purpose to hold on to with Jesus after loss. She showed us endurance through loneliness and lack. Being a widow back then certainly meant poverty. There were no benefits like you see now if you're elderly, whether you can access those or not, but they didn't have any of that back then. Hope in the impossible seasons of life. She shows us how to have vision for hope. There were 84 years was very old for ancient times. I did say ancient, don't worry. But it was very old for ancient times, and she'd never lost her purpose. Sometimes we disqualify the vision for our life because of our age, or our loss, or our loneliness, or our lack. And she shares vision for a new calling at 84. She went from prophetess to evangelist. Isn't that awesome? We're like, oh, that's nice. No, no, no. She dedicated all those years in the temple, and then she went out. That woman was on mission, and she was focused. Amen? And I love, I won't share all the ages of what happened here, but our former pastor had a career in New York City for many years. And let's just say at retirement age, he became a pastor, right? And so when anyone ever comes to me and they're like, oh, I'm too old or I'm too this, I'm like, hold on, right? If Anna can become a prophetess to an evangelist and other people can do some other changes at retirement age, it's never too old to get fresh vision for your life. Amen? So a new normal brings a blessing of fresh vision. And I pray that over each one of us today. Hebrews 12:1 through 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race set out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Even Jesus had vision that propelled him forward on earth. We all need vision. Amen? In the face of what Anna went through, it was easier for her to default on her vision than to have Jesus' vision. Have you ever been kind of realizing that you put your life on cruise control and you go, see, in our car, we have lane assist. I think we could all use some lane assist in our lives. Anybody need some boundary lane assist? You're going down the road and suddenly it's like, right, the whole car, and you're like, oh, we're going over the line, right? And we're touching the line. We're not going over the line, right, in Jesus' name. And some of us need some boundary lane assist. I could use some in my life. But the point is that we get on default. And the problem is, in our car, you can put on cruise control and you got lane assist, and pretty soon you're sitting there and you're driving, and you know, you're fine, but you realize you're not actually, like, you're in control, but you can kind of clock out just maybe even 1%. I'm not talking about clocking out more than that. It's not a self-driving car. But you can kind of disengage. And sometimes we put our lives, or we put a relationship or an area of our lives in that cruise control, and we default back to the old vision. Have you ever woken up and realized that you're living the vision that maybe your parent had, or the vision that someone had for your life that wasn't your own, whether it was good or bad or big or small? God has a fresh vision for you in the new normal. Amen? It's not old patterns, it's not old cycles, and it's truth, not lies. That word default means to revert automatically to a pre-selected option. How many know there are some pre-selected options that we're all born with? Tendencies that we have emotionally, mentally, physically. And our lives can either be fighting those defaults or surrendering those defaults to God and receiving vision and walking it out courageously. Amen? That is no joke. You can wake up and realize that your marriage or your relationship or your habits have defaulted. It is never too late to surrender those, to receive healing and fresh vision. So my question to you this morning is your vision for your friendships, your marriage, whatever life season or situation you're in, kids, finances, health, priorities, future, is it a God-sized vision, or have you defaulted? I want to invite you today to ask God for fresh vision for your home. And the last one, or almost the last one, is strength of Deborah. The people who know their God will display strength and take action. That's in Daniel 11:32. I love that. Strength in God produces action, not apathy. Who here struggles with apathy or passivity? Anybody? Nobody. I'm sure we were all too passive to raise our hand, right? I wish I didn't, but there are some days where it's easier just to slip back and default into some passivity, right? It's just simpler. But it says those who know their God will have strength and take action. What does that mean? Whenever you're in that place of wanting to surrender back to passivity, get to know God in that place, and he'll release strength that you need. Amen? The new normal in Jesus blesses us with a kind of strength through experiencing God and knowing him. How many are stronger after worship than before? Amen? And even if you don't know you are, because you just experienced God. Amen? So Deborah was a wife, she was a prophetess and a judge in the Old Testament. She heard from God, she did legal disputes and fulfilled military duties for the country. She was not a sissy. I wish I knew what she looked like. I would have loved to have met her. Been really cool. She is the only woman mentioned in the Bible who was both a prophet and a judge. So she's put in the realm of like Moses, Samuel, some of these great heroes of faith. She carried a lot of authority. Judges 4:8. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded to you, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." And Barak reluctantly responded, "I will go, but only if you go with me." I love that response. Deborah's like, God's given you this, go for it. And he's like, no, I'm not going without you. Have you ever gotten like an encouragement from God and you're just like, let me call my friend who's got real faith. Let's see if we go together, right? Anybody? Maybe you've gotten the phone call and you're like, oh, I didn't know I was Deborah to you. I don't want to be Deborah, I'm Barak too, right? But I love this because Deborah went out to fight the battle with Barak. How many know she could have told Barak, here are 50 faith declarations, do better, you've got God inside of you, you go. I don't know, I was reading this story this week and I was like, why? I mean, seriously, she had some strength, right? This woman was not gonna just be like, oh, that's fine, I'll just take it on. No, no, no. She could have been, you know, let me go into the prayer room for 5 hours, you haven't prayed enough. But instead, she said, I mean, she didn't say it, but I'm sure she must have been like, okay, this man, I can see his weakness. And you know what? Instead of exposing it, instead of victimizing him or enabling, I'm going to walk beside. That's what strength of God does. It says, hey, I see you in your weakness. I'm not going to expose. I'm going to come alongside, and we're going to get the victory together. Isn't that powerful? I think that's the blessing of Deborah. And the fun fact is, there's a lesser-known woman who helped with this victory named Yael. I don't think there are any kids left in here. I was watching a comedy thing about picking names for your kids in the Bible. Clearly, I'm getting targeted. And they're like, oh, yeah, I named my child Yael. They're like, oh, that's a pretty name. And then they, like, look it up when they're, like, 50. And let's just say she drove a tent peg through the enemy's head, right? That's the lesser-known hero of Deborah. The Deborah story is full of very, very weak sissies, right? Not at all. But there's something that's really important here, and this is something I have had to deal with for a long time. Have ever used the excuse, oh, but I'm a strong woman. I know there are men here. I don't normally just speak to the woman, but go with me on this. I'm writing a devotional for women. I've been writing it for a couple years, and there's one that says, oh, but I'm a strong woman. Well, Deborah was too, but she didn't use that strength to victimize, enable. She didn't weaponize it. She used it to lift others up, right? That is so important. So if you're a strong woman or you've been told that, please don't use that as an excuse to get away with murder. Please use that submitted to God to lift others up around you. Amen? I don't know. That's one of my soapboxes. It says in Judges 5:7, villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I arose a mother in Israel. There are battles around us waiting to experience Jesus' victory until we arise in our identities in Christ in strength and courage. How many know victory has been bought by the blood of Jesus, but it is our inheritance to walk in it and release it wherever we go, not use it to weaponize, expose, or victimize, but to come alongside someone in their weakness and say, I see the victory, you can do it, but I'm going to come next to you. Let's do it together. So my question to you is, who in your life right now is dealing with a situation? And maybe you've been tempted to just be like, here, 50 declarations, go into the prayer closet, right? And sometimes you need 50 prayers and truths and all that. I'm not making fun of any of it. But sometimes you need a friend. You need a mother's heart. And men, this is for you too. We all got the father's heart. You can have some mother heart, right? And you need someone to come alongside to walk with you. Amen? So who are you walking with to help them experience Jesus' victory? And who's walking with you? It's one of my favorite things about the groups that happened through winter, and we'll have more groups soon, because it created such an opportunity to walk with each other. more than ever before. So I'm going to close with this one. It's the faith of Eunice. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Some of you are going to get this blessing card, and this is why I had to preach off of it, because you're like, who is Eunice? What is happening here, right? We're not naming our daughter Eunice. I just want to put that out there. Or what was the other one? Dorcas. I was going to do a fake announcement. Hey, if your name is Dorcas, it is not a bad name. I just want to put that out there. Our church advisor just had met somebody on a ministry trip named Dorcas, and it was really sweet, so I'm not making fun of the name. However, I wouldn't choose it for my child right now. So some of you will get this blessing card and be confused by Eunice, right? So we know her by Timothy, her son. Timothy was Paul's spiritual son and helped him in Corinth, Thessalonica, I don't know, it's very odd. I was there, but it's hard to say. Ephesus and Rome. He was very young in ministry. He was known for that. He had frequent ailments, if you look at some of the scriptures. So maybe he had a chronic illness. We don't really know. But it never prevented him from persevering. He had a mixed racial background. He had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. Pretty unusual to read that. And he was raised by his parents and his grandmother. So 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15 and 2 Timothy 1:5 through 8. I'm just going to read this in one chunk. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Think about that. Who taught you some of the things that you know about God? And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Going down to 2 Timothy 1. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. How many had a praying grandmother? Amen? For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The power of a praying mother. Amen? I want to end on this because she is one of my favorites, and it's one of my favorite blessings of a new normal. Because so far, you know, we've got some courage, we've got some strength, some vision, more loud blessings, but this is a hidden blessing. And it's the hidden blessing of a woman who never had a book written after her in the Bible, never named after her in the Bible. In fact, we don't even know if she ever went on one of the ministry trips with her son or anything, and yet her prayers changed history. They changed your life, even. Isn't that the blessing of a new normal? So I want to remind you that maybe you find yourself in a season of relative obscurity right now. Maybe you think that nothing you're doing is impacting anybody. You're like, I'm not a queen or a king like Esther or whatever. I'm not a prophet or a judge and all this. And I don't even want to go into battle. I think I'm Barack this morning, right? But your prayers, hidden, can save generations. The prayers of women here and men here for years are why we're here today. A lot of those prayers are from Pat Enslow in the back left. Why don't we thank her, if you don't know her? I think she might be I was going to say something, but I want to word it very carefully. I'm not saying she's the oldest. I just mean, I think her prayers have been prayed for the longest. There we go. That's the correct way of saying it in this space. And I could be wrong, because I know we have several here that have been here a while. But she has been an intercessor. And I guarantee that you are here because of the prayers that she has prayed in obscurity. I guarantee it, because God's listening. So who's going to be here in some of these empty chairs next week because of your prayers of obscurity? Who are the Timothys that need to come home to God, that have a call? Amen? I think we glorify being a Timothy more than being a Eunice, but there's no Timothy without a Eunice. And in the kingdom of God, one is not more important than the other. It's easy to glorify the spotlight, but without the prayer, there is no spotlight. There's no megaphone for Timothy to have his ministry. Who knows what would have happened to him, especially with illness and all that he dealt with at a young age. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet? My question is, who are you praying for faithfully right now? Who are you praying for? And you could say, who are you praying for faithfully right now in the next generation? Because more than any other legacy, our prayers are left here far beyond when we're around. And they impact the future. So I know today's message was a little bit more like a drive-by devotional, but I hope and pray that at least one of these blessings was a lifeline for you this morning. And I want to just bless you with them now as we close here. So Jesus, we just thank you for the new normal that you give in Christ. We thank you that we once had old ways, ancient ways like the curse from the Garden of Eden. But because of you, Jesus, we are set free from the ancient normal and released into the new normal by the power of you and the power of the Holy Spirit. So right now, I just bless every person here with the courage of Esther. God, maybe someone here doesn't know you by name, or they're in a situation where they don't feel like they can actually speak out the name of God at this very moment. And God, I thank you that you're always working behind the scenes. And I just ask for a special blessing of courage that comes with wisdom, just like Esther. And we speak life over any death in your life. Maybe you've got some prodigals that feel like the Jewish people, and you're just like, man, the enemy's after my kids or whatever the situation is. We just speak life over every prodigal this morning. And we speak courage over your heart. God, we just bless every man and woman here with the vision of Anna. Father, whether we have disqualified ourselves for loss, for age, for life season, for lack, for loneliness. Father, I ask for a supernatural release of vision that can only come from you. Jesus, be our vision. God, I just bless every marriage, every relationship, every priority represented here in this community this morning, and we ask for fresh vision. Show us where we have defaulted on the vision of our lives and breathe fresh vision. There's no condemnation, but there is invitation to transformation. God, I bless every person here who is dealing with weakness right now, which is all of us. And I just bless you with the strength of Deborah. But I also bless you with the strength for yourself, but also the strength and the wisdom to see who else around you needs to taste the victory of Jesus. And I bless you with the strength to walk beside them. To not weaponize your strength, but to surrender it to Holy Spirit so we can do more than you could ask, seek, or imagine with it. And God, we speak the faith of Eunice over every person here. God, I ask there would be an anointing of intercession and prayer that you just pour out on all of us. Show us who we need to be praying for, God. Whether we know we're going to make a difference or not, we may not know till eternity. But we thank you for laying those names on our hearts, that we would pray, we would be faithful in the obscurity, knowing that you can do more and you're always listening. In Jesus' name. So I just bless you with that courage, that vision, and that strength and faith this Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.